Good morning, everybody. I'd like to call to order the Transportation Finance Committee. I'm Representative Hornstein, the chair, and I believe we actually have a quorum today right on time. And so for that reason, Representative Hamilton is just rearing to go, and we'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Mr. Chair, just for the record, I was the first one here today. I've read through the minutes, and I'd like to move the minutes dated April 4th.
Representative Hamilton moves the minutes of April 4th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. We have one bill on the agenda today, but members, before we do that, just wanted to let everybody know that our bill will finally be posted tomorrow. We'll be having a hearing and walking through it on Friday, and then we're going to have votes on Monday. There'll be a deadline late Friday afternoon for amendments. I've talked with Representative Beard about that, and he's fine with it. So we're finally going to get going. We've received clearance to land, and so speaking of airports, and so with that, Representative Purcell, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and
Representative Purcell, by the way,
sir.
Sorry. I'm going to move your bill, House File 8011, to the Rules Committee. As you know, we're past deadline, so everything from here on out needs to go to Rules. So that's where you will be parked for now. You can proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and very appreciative of the opportunity to have a hearing here today. And my understanding that we do have the amended.
Yeah, I'll move the everyone members. You should have in your packets the H0811DE1, and I'll move that, Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Proceed.
Okay, and again, very appreciative, and we've somewhat belatedly, as you note here, Mr. Chairman. Coming forward with this bill, it's been around for a few years actually, or this concept, and we've worked pretty hard. I'll give the credit to the parties that we're going to hear from today. I have learned a lot through this process, but the folks involved in this effort have come together and worked out differences to the point where we're ready to proceed, and that's appreciate having the hearing here today to talk about these aircraft and airport related issues that do involve several areas of taxes, and it's a little bit convoluted, and like I say, I've learned a lot, and I'd like to turn it over to Gordon Hoff, first testifier. We do have several folks to testify on this today, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Hoff, welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Gordon Hoff, Executive Director of the Minnesota Business Aviation Association. Thank you for allowing us to have our bill heard today. The bill has, as Representative Purcell indicated, sales tax issues in it, but we also have aircraft registration that we need to address. In 1945, when the legislature established the state airport fund, they set the cost of registering an airplane at 1% of its new value over 7 years, decreasing to 0.25%. That has become a very onerous tax and is in fact hurting activity in the state of Minnesota. But briefly, let me run through the bill then. In Section 1, to help offset our reduction of the aircraft registration tax, we will increase the fuel on business aviation from 5 cents to 15 cents a gallon. We will exempt the airlines from any change in the fuel price. They will continue to pay under the current system, which is a nickel, decreasing to a half cent after 200,000 gallons. We then ask that the sales tax on the parts and associated labor be eliminated. Many states across the country, some as close as Michigan, Ohio, and as far away as Maine and Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and Florida, are eliminating these taxes making it very difficult for our aircraft maintenance to be competitive. An airplane is a very mobile asset, and sometimes the repairs and upgrades can be several hundred thousand dollars, and when you're paying 6.875% tax on that, it becomes quite onerous and anti-competitive. We are asking that the sales tax on aircraft be deposited in the state airport fund. Currently, your predecessors in 1945 determined that the automobile tax went to the automobile, but for some reason the airline the aircraft tax went to the general fund, not to the state airport fund. We are a total user fee supported fund, aircraft registration, a fuel tax, and something called flight property tax. There are no general fund revenues that go into the state airport operation. And so in 1945, when we didn't get the sales tax off aircraft sales and parts going into the airport fund, we started off as a disadvantage. Then we're also asking that this bill be reviewed every 4 years to make sure that we do what we say we're doing. We are not wanting to wait another 68 years to address this issue. We believe that we need 4 years to see that it will generate more activity in the business world. This will leave a small hole in the general fund, but there won't be as much to take if you try to take it again, I guess, is what you've done a couple of times in the past. So we still are trying to get the IOUs paid on that that was in the past. We also are delaying the active enactment date of the lowering of the aircraft registration and the increase in the fuel tax by 1 year. We're asking that that not be enacted until 2014. And we're asking that the sales tax shift and elimination, though, go into effect in 2013. So that's a quick summary of the bill. We think that this bill has support. We believe and know this bill has support from everyone in the aviation community, the airlines, the Minnesota Council of Airports. I do not think that we leave a hole in the state airport fund by making this change. And it's a user friendly in the sense that instead of paying a very high registration fee, regardless of how many times you fly your airplane, the fuel tax is a tax. The more you use your aircraft, the more you will pay to support our system. And Minnesota has some of the best air navigation and airports in the country. Our pilots, when they return from their trips, will tell you that Minnesota is one of the best places to fly, and we'd like to keep it that way, so we certainly want to make sure that our airports are adequately funded to maintain runways, taxiways, and the air navigation that goes along with it. I will stop there, and there are other people who will testify to how this bill may impact their specific industries or their airports. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have at this time regarding what I've said.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hoff. I'll have to talk to Representative Carlson and Representative Kahn, see what they had in mind back in 45. But we'll see if we can do that today. Are there any questions of the committee of Mr. Hoff? Representative Benson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think I picked up on it, but just to understand it, I mean, the original bill was 10 cents. The new one is 15. It's a pretty sizable jump. This is revenue neutral, then?
Mr. Hoff.
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, it is not totally neutral unless you transfer the sales tax from the aircraft airframes. That is the portion that will make the airport fund whole. And that's going to be, it varies a great deal. In 1 year, it was as low as $1.2 million. Last year, as we're coming out of the recession, that was as high as $6.3 million. So it does fluctuate, but with that transfer, we make the state airport adequately funded.
And we, Mr. Chairman, thank you. But we don't do that in this bill in terms of making sure that all that money goes. I mean, my interest is making airports whole for everything, and that doesn't do that in this bill. In terms of all that sales tax for airframes and the like being going to the airport fund, that goes to the general fund?
Currently it goes to the general fund.
Okay.
And we're asking that the sales tax on aircraft be transferred from the state general fund to the airport fund, and the elimination of sales tax on parts and the associated labor.
All right.
To be competitive with other states.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure that, and again, my interest is ultimately to make the airports whole for the money we've been robbing out of there for a little while. So this is a good first start from some perspective. I think we got a little bit to go, and maybe next session. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Benson. Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Morning, please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Sean Dramolis. I'm the executive director for the Chisholm-Hibbing Airport Authority at the Range Regional Airport. And today I'm here as the chairman for the Minnesota Council of Airports. As Mr. Hoff was saying, Minnesota is very fortunate to possess one of the nation's best airport systems, and one needs just to travel our nation to determine that this is a true fact. This has been made possible and will only continue to be possible by the adequate funding provided by the Minnesota Airport Fund. This fund provides the vital dollars for airport construction, airport equipment purchasing, and reimbursements of a portion of the airport operational and maintenance expenses that we incurred. The State Airport Fund obtains its dollars through the registration fees, aircraft fuel taxes, airline flight property taxes, and interest. It does not receive any money raised for taxes on aircraft sales and aircraft part sales, which all currently goes to the state's general fund, unlike other forms of transit, which has dedicated state sales taxes. We have been, and airports currently are, and desire to continue being self-supporting, utilizing these user fees, and believe that this bill is one that will help us achieve that objective. Of the state airports fund, approximately $18 million annual budget, airport expenses utilize approximately $8 to $10 million per year. The capital improvement projects list generated by MnDOT Aeronautics in January of 2013 actually had over $17 million in airport funding requests. In 5 years, the five-year capital improvement project list projects airport requests of over $595 million, of which $58.7 million would be considered state eligible. And these lists are found on the MnDOT Aeronautics website, and they do not include requests from the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport or the Mac Reliever Airports. It's imperative that the state airports fund remains fully funded and revenue resources are encouraged to grow and meet these requests, and more importantly, leverage federal funding sources for the airports. In summary, this bill enables the state airport fund to remain whole and assist properly funding our state airports. With this revenue-neutral proposal, which the Minnesota Council of Airports strongly advocates, we'll assist our aviation partners, the Minnesota aircraft owners, and maintenance operators with reducing high costs of doing business, providing a competitive environment. A healthy environment translates to more aviation activity, more jobs with well above minimum wage salaries, and more revenue to the state airport fund to maintain the excellent aviation and airport system we have today. Minnesota Council of Airports requests your support in passing this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Dramolis. Are there questions? Representative Earhart, and then Representative O'Neill after that.
Mr. Chairman, I think this is that a 200% raise in the cents per gallon? Am I counting that right? Cents a gallon is now 5%?
Mr. Dramolis?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative, it does go from the current 5 cents per gallon on the jet fuel to 15 cents per gallon. And again, it does not affect the airlines or the aviation or piston-powered aircraft.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if the governor knows about this. I just out of curiosity, has he poked his nose into this part of raising the fuel tax as well, or doesn't he do that?
Mr. Dramolis?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, our group has discussed this with the governor's staff, and he should be full aware of this implement.
Is he fully, Mr. Chairman, is he fully in accord with it?
I was not there at that time during the discussion. Mr. Hoff maybe could speak on that because I believe he met with him and discussed this.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Earhart.
I mean to rain on your parade, but I'm just we've been discussing fuel tax increases with the governor without much success, so I'm surprised that he's willing to let you raise it here. And that was only a curiosity question.
Okay.
Thank you, Representative Earhart. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just curious as to why there's not a fiscal note, since there's quite a bit of moving. It's supposed to be revenue neutral, but just wondering where the fiscal note might be. What?
Thank you very much, Representative O'Neill. Mr. Lee, could you respond to that?
Mr. Chair and Representative O'Neill, a fiscal note was requested for this bill, but because it was on the agenda, I think it was put on very recently, I wasn't able to get the agencies to find one immediately. However, the Senate did hear the DE, or what's essentially the DE-1 amendment, and there's a preliminary fiscal note for that. That involved both the Department of Revenue that would have some impacts in terms of administering this, and the Department of Transportation that had estimates in terms of the loss of resources for the general fund. Mm-hmm. And the preliminary fiscal note, and I should say this is preliminary, it's not official yet, but has $3,774,000 in cost to the general fund for fiscal 15 and 16 and 17. So the 2014-2015 biennial number would be $3.774 million in fiscal cost this biennium.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Just a follow-up.
Representative O'Neill.
Is there a thought to how we would recoup that in the general fund, $3.7 million? To the author, please.
I think what we've discussed, Mr. Chairman, Representative, is this bill also gives a four-year clause where we review this in about 4 years, but it needs some time to develop, to look at this. It really is a jobs bill. It encourages jobs. It reduces the cost of purchasing and maintaining aircraft, and we hope that over time that we'll see more activity and more growth in this state, which is being conveyed to us, which is needed. And we believe that over time that this will eventually continue to make up that deficit.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill. Additional questions of the committee? Thank you.
Chairman Hornstein, members of the committee, my name is Glenn Burke. I'm the airport manager at Fleming Field, which is South St. Paul Airport. Fleming Field is a busy, small industrial airport. I like to tell people that I talk to, we're an industrial park with a runway. Every day, over 300 people show up to work at South St. Paul Airport. They cut, sew, paste, fold, pack parachutes for small aircraft. They rivet, glue, paint, upholster, buy, sell, and trade aircraft. They repair, refurbish, and manufacture parts. They renew, strip, and paint aircraft. They engineer, draft, re-engineer, secure FAA approvals for aircraft modifications. It's the place where old aircraft come to be new. We make them fly further, faster, and then we also jam some extra people on those aircraft, which I know as passengers don't really care for that. But that's what the owners want. There are two major provisions in this bill that we see at South St. Paul as a boon to our businesses. Number one, the aircraft sales tax on parts is fairly onerous to the businesses at our airport. Our businesses compete with businesses in Florida, Massachusetts, Ohio, all over the country. Right now, many of these states have lowered or eliminated sales tax on parts and labor, which our community, our state currently collects. One of our aircraft modifications for a 30-year-old aircraft costs in excess of $400,000, and it takes about 1,500 labor hours. And these are mechanics that are making $65,000 and $70,000 a year. This modification, I said, is 1,500 hours, so it's 3/4 of one person, or in our case, it's 12 people over a three-week period of time that are doing this modification. Our businesses are at about a $28,000 disadvantage to their competitors in Florida and Massachusetts. So for us, we see this as a major provision that would help bring these jobs and keep these jobs here in the state of Minnesota. The other major provision that we see is the aircraft sales tax, the aircraft registration. In Minnesota, we have one of the highest aircraft registrations. It's the third highest in the nation. And what happens is when someone bases an aircraft, they look at the total cost of basing it. Where are we going to get our maintenance, our fuel, and, of course, any of the fees that come from the airports in the state. So we are competing against border airports. In our case, it would be New Richmond, Wisconsin, Menominee, and Eau Claire. And what we're seeing is that when these companies are choosing to base these aircraft, our aircraft registrations are out of line with those communities in those states, and it puts us at a major competitive disadvantage. So the lowering of the aircraft registrations would help us bring some of these aircraft back, but more importantly, when they come to site new aircraft, it will put us at a better competitive position to bring them here and get the maintenance jobs that also go with it. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to testify, and if you have any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Beard, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been coming on this deal, but thank you for your and committee, I just want to apologize. This is a very important bill to me and to the aviation industry, but I did have a speaking engagement this morning. I had to get out of or to perform to get here. Thank you for your testimony. Members, the jobs that that Glenn just referred to, whenever we've been working on this bill in the past, one of the things that became very apparent was that for every corporate aircraft that based in Minnesota, there were 2.5 jobs attached to that airplane other than the flight crew in fuel maintenance, just taking care of the situation, because these are just not weekend flyers like me. These are serious business machines. You can consider 2.5 good-paying jobs for every airplane that's based in Minnesota that comes home if this bill should prevail. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Beard.
Thank
questions?
You.
Additional questions? Okay. Thank you for your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, representatives. My name is Bill King. I'm the Vice President of Business Administration at Cirrus Aircraft, Duluth, Minnesota. And I'm here today actually representing two interests, Cirrus just being one, and we are the actually the leading manufacturer of general aviation aircraft in the world in our class. For over the last 10 years, we have now we have produced, sold, and delivered the single most heavily purchased aerospace product in the world, and that's 10 years in a row that we've been the number one selling aerospace product. And we get bragging rights to that, not only at Cirrus, but all of us in Minnesota. And we are the envy of the aircraft industry. And the reason that we are, quite frankly, is because of the men and women that come to work at Cirrus every single day. And we're proud of our staff, we're proud of our people, and this is an important piece of legislation to us. And we are appreciative of having the opportunity to speak to it today. Secondly, and the second reason I'm here is actually as an aircraft operator and owner, and I actually have an aircraft leasing business that I also operate. And interestingly enough, one of my aircraft is about up for being replaced, and with the aircraft cost that gets saddled on top of our operational expenses, this gets to be a significant issue for all operators, not the least of which is myself on a personal basis. So I'm also here on that basis today. Some of the things that may not be obvious to everybody is this really is, in no small measure, truly is a jobs bill. There's no question about it. And Representative Beard is absolutely correct that aircraft represent a tremendous amount of business in our community and in our state. And by the state's own published information from the Department of Trade 5 years ago, the aircraft industry, manufacturing industry in Minnesota, was a $1.3 billion industry to this state. That is not an insignificant number by anybody's definition. And we're excited about what our role is in that, albeit a modest role. But it's not just about Cirrus in Duluth, Minnesota. Interestingly enough, Mr. Burke was just testifying and commenting about his role at South St. Paul. One of the critical suppliers to Cirrus Aircraft is Ballistic Recovery Systems out of St. Paul, Minnesota, and they operate at Fleming Field. And they're a critical supplier to us. Every single aircraft we build has a parachute, and they are all manufactured for us by a remarkable team of people out of the South St. Paul Airport. And again, part and parcel to why we are the leader in the industry, we want to stay that way. So the question is, how does this bill impact us? Well, it impacts us in a couple of different ways, not the least of which is the aircraft registration, which is a very aggressive, very burdensome tax that gets applied on any new aircraft purchase where the aircraft is going to be domiciled in the state of Minnesota. Having the aircraft domiciled in the state of Minnesota is a good thing for all of us that fly. And everybody thinks, or too many people think, of aircraft owners as being rich kids that just fly around for something to do. It's about general aviation. A couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to fly around the state with Congressman Oberstar. And as I picked him up down at St. Paul, we were going to be flying up towards Hibbing. As we walked out on the ramp, we actually had to stop because there was an air ambulance offloading a patient, obviously a child with with his parents, and they got out and got into an ambulance and took off at the speed of light for no doubt a critical passenger. That goes on day in and day out around the state. So much of general aviation people don't even realize is truly a business or important flying that has nothing to do with somebody going out for a $100 hamburger. It's a critical component to doing business and doing business efficiently in and around the state of Minnesota, and in our case, around the world. Aviation represents a tremendous tool for balancing trade internationally, and we're no different. We represent about a third to a half of our business on any given year will be sold, those aircraft will be sold internationally. This tax in the state of Minnesota does create an enormous hurdle to our customers that want to buy aircraft that live and operate in Minnesota. And if you have the opportunity and you live in Minnesota and you want to buy one of my airplanes, it's about a $25,000 penalty when you buy that aircraft if you're going to domicile in Minnesota. So if you have the opportunity and you can figure out how to be close enough to a border city to do it, you don't register your airplane in Minnesota and you don't keep it here. Well, that's counterproductive on a lot of levels, not the least of which is the jobs that are costing this state. So we're here asking you to favorably consider it. We see this as a revenue-neutral bill in certainly given some time, and we're encouraged by where this is going to lead. We are about to introduce a new product, the Cirrus Jet, into the market over the next couple of years. We have over 400 customers that have put down significant deposits on those airplanes, and those two will be critical to many to business activities in Minnesota. And we want them domiciled here. That's good for all of us. So with that, I will refrain from taking more of your time this morning, but I'd be more than happy to entertain any questions you might have.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This has got to be a Republican bill, right? Because all the testifiers continue to say if we bend down the cost of doing business through taxes that we're going to improve the economy. That's not my question. That's just just an observation. Mr. King, from the Cirrus standpoint, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me, certainly. I'm not an expert in your field. So the company that you represent has gone through some pretty difficult economic times. If I'm not mistaken, the bigger player in terms of investment is now a Chinese company. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, that's correct. We are owned in entirety at this point by a Chinese conglomerate, CAGA International.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman?
Representative Benson.
Does this in any way help to keep those jobs? I mean, my concern is Chinese company, sooner or later they're going to have the technology to do this, build this stuff in China. Does this in any way help us hopefully convince them that they need to keep these jobs in Minnesota and retain all those jobs that we'd lose if we didn't?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, again, I want to be careful I don't overstate this. In no small measure, CAGA purchased Cirrus aircraft in June of 2010 because we are sort of the 600-pound gorilla in our market. We dominate the general aviation industry in our class. We certainly think we're going to do that as well in the jet market, light jet market, but they bought us because of who we are and the market domination that we enjoy. We enjoy that because of the build of the aircraft, the quality of the people that build it, come to work every single day in Duluth. There's no question in my mind that we will retain the jobs in Minnesota for building for our North and South American components, probably Western Europe. There's also no question that at some point there will be a manufacturing complex in Zhuhai, where they're now building a building to handle the Chinese market and the Asian markets. I think I don't want to overstate the case, but certainly to the extent that we can do more to make our business climate attractive, that certainly goes a long ways towards helping them decide something on the order of, gee, where should we build the jet? We clearly do not have enough physical plant space in Duluth, we don't think, in order to be able to manufacture the new product. We already know it's an enormously popular product. The question is, where are we going to build that? And all of us that live and make our homes here in Minnesota and Duluth specifically, we're looking for help from you to help us continue to convince them that Minnesota is not just a good place to do business, but the right place to do business when it comes to building those new products. The JET is just one of many more products that we expect to deliver in the future.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Chair. Just one last question. I believe I heard the testifier say that the aircraft registration fee is the third highest in the nation. Somewhere it is the third. And with this change, where would we be on that list?
Mr. Chairman, Representative O'Neill, I'm not sure exactly where that would put us. It would certainly put us significantly lower than third. I can tell you as an aircraft owner, I have not had the joy of paying this once. I've had the joy of paying this fee four times, and I'm now looking at doing it again as I replace my fleet for the aircraft that I lease. But that said, I couldn't tell you the exact number. All I know is that at $25,000, I can't pass that on to my customers, and it certainly will keep me from purchasing a new airplane to put in Minnesota. I'd rather find my customers someplace else where I can be competitive. But somebody, I suspect, Mr. Huff, or somebody could address this.
Follow-up?
I believe Mr. Huff has got the answer, possibly.
Okay. Mr. Huff.
Mr. Chair, Representative O'Neill, one little correction. In the first year, we are the highest in the country. There's nobody higher than Minnesota in aircraft registration. Over a seven-year period, we are in the top three. So we stay in the top three forever. When your question was, I believe, where will we be if we pass this bill? On the bill, we have a formula that goes down from zero to 500,000 to over 40 million. And right now, the Cirrus aircraft, if I may use the example here, they're a $500,000 aircraft. That'd be $5,000 in year one, going down to about $1,250 at the seventh year. That aircraft would pay $200 a year in Minnesota. We would be one of the lowest in the country in that bracket. When you move up the bracket line, we are still higher than our bordering states, but we're much, much lower than we are today.
And if I could add, actually our average sale price is not $500,000. It's appreciably more than that. So it's actually significantly higher than what we're representing here. And if I may just comment one more other further answer to that question, if I may, Mr. Chairman. Just to put it in context, everybody thinks sales tax, well, what's a big deal about sales tax? I just replaced a battery on my aircraft, a battery. The same size battery you'd put in your car physically. It was $847 for the part. If that battery had failed someplace else, I can assure you I wouldn't have bought it in Minnesota. Because you start realizing, and that's just one part of what might be many in a repair cycle. So it gets to be an enormous burden on the aircraft owners and operators in the state of Minnesota that are trying to serve the general aviation community, whether it's hospitals, whether it's business people, or what have you.
Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, if that be the case, are you buying a different battery, or the taxes on the battery, or what reason are you paying $800, which is significantly higher?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, clearly that is just the cost of an aircraft battery in aviation. The costs in aviation are burdened by things like product liability insurance, things that are enormous load factors that nobody else pays in any other industry, but we have the great fun of paying
for
it in aviation.
Mr. Chairman, it's not that you're buying in Minnesota. It has nothing to do with that.
Again, Mr. Chairman, Representative, no, but every time I buy one of those components, and there are many I buy in any given year, that was one example, I pay taxes on all of those inflated costs. So if I can get that maintenance done elsewhere, you can be sure I'm going to do that and save that cost.
Right. So wouldn't we all, Mr. Chairman, if we could move our buying of batteries for my car, I got to get new. If I could drive to Wisconsin and get one, it'd be cheaper. I suppose I'd do that too. Harder than just popping your plane over there, though.
Thank you, Representative Earhart. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Chair. Just one follow-up, Mr. Huff. Could you just give us a little bit of picture as to maybe Wisconsin compared to here, even if it was just one of the categories, just so we kind of can wrap our mind around the difference in the burden here? I realize you said even the first year we're the top in the nation, which is a little startling to know that we're that expensive here. But could you just kind of paint a little picture?
Yes. In North Dakota, they start, I think the highest they can pay is $300 on an aircraft, and then over a seven-year period, it decreases to 50% of that $300. So that airplane would be $300, and it would pay $150 after that. That same airplane in Minnesota, or let's go over to Iowa. If I use a $20 million aircraft, over 7 years in North Dakota, I'm going to pay $4,500 to register that aircraft. A $20 million jet carries 8 to 10 people. It'll fly 3,000 miles, and that's a pretty common size aircraft for the business community. The major corporations will fly. So in North Dakota, it's $4,500. In Iowa, they start at 1% of the value of the aircraft, just like we do, but they have a cap. Nobody pays more than $5,000. So after 7 years, you've paid $35,000 in Iowa. In Wisconsin, you're capped at $3,250, regardless of the price of the airplane. So I'm not a mathematician, but 7 times 3,200, you're probably paying around $22,000. In Minnesota, that airplane will start on year one at $200,000 to register it, and after 7 years, you're down to 25%, which I guess would be $50,000. So you'll pay $850,000 over a seven-year period, compared to $35,000 in Iowa and $4,500 in North Dakota. In South Dakota, I think it's a flat $300 to register an airplane, no matter what you have.
Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, would it make sense to, for the corporate jets to park themselves in North Dakota and just fly in to pick up the people?
It would, but we do have a law on the books that says if you are a Minnesota resident, the first day you fly that airplane into Minnesota, you're supposed to register it. You can fly into Minnesota if you're a non-resident for 60 days, and then on the 61st day, you're supposed to register that aircraft in Minnesota. So do we want to be a police state or a welcoming state?
Sounds like snowbirds for the airplanes at the 60-day, Mr. Chair.
Perhaps Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chair, if I may. And
Representative Purcell.
Representative Earhart, I think you hit the nail right on the head with the mobility factor, that you can hop the plane and go get it fixed somewhere. You know, you don't wait for them to break down on the side of the road like an automobile necessarily. So it can be done quite inexpensively in other areas, other states.
Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, to this point, Representative Purcell kind of hit it with a glancing blow, but there is a major employer in his district that flies all over the upper Midwest with their airplanes based in Bemidji, and they're very susceptible to competition from airplanes as far away as Illinois, hauling small overnight package freight, which is a major component of the business at your airport. And so these folks who have to upgrade their airplanes are basically paying through the nose for the privilege of licensing them and keeping them in Minnesota when they could rebase their entire operation to Grand Forks or Fargo and add a lot more equipment and a lot more competitive capacity for no more capital dollars. Instead, this is what we're up against, and that's part of why Representative Purcell is carrying the bill, and thank you for doing that.
If I may, Mr. Chair, Representative, I actually had two aircraft based in North Dakota, and the numbers are staggering. I paid a couple hundred dollars a year for my aircraft in North Dakota. The same aircraft in Minnesota I was paying $2,500 a year on. It just was crazy.
Thank you.
With that, thank you very much for your time. I'll be around if anybody has further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any additional testifiers?
I believe we have two more testifiers.
Okay, if we can, we make it brief and yep. Getting along.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Harold Van Leeuwen. I'm the director of the Bemidji Regional Airport, and I'm also representing Minnesota Council of Airports, and I'm going to be a little bit of a split personality in that role, but I am also going to talk to the particular incident that Representative Beard is talking about, because it also goes to Representative O'Neill's question. Bemidji Aviation, which is the major employer in Bemidji at the airport, employs 60 people in the state, about 40 at Bemidji, has a fleet of 40 aircraft, serves a five-state region flying freight. In fact, they're not here today because they're flying freight for DigiKey because of the weather yesterday. And DigiKey's an employer of 2,500 people in Thief River, and they won't be there without air freight to move their parts. That airline, last year for UPS, their contract, had to buy three larger aircraft at about $650,000 per aircraft. That difference in first-year ownership cost in Minnesota versus Wisconsin was $69,000 per airplane. When you're literally bidding on contracts that talk about tenths of a cent per pound per mile, a disadvantage of $69,000 is a competitive reason to maybe not be in the state if you're going to stay in business. Bemidji Aviation is an employee-owned company. It was transferred to that. Those people own homes and live in town, so it's jobs. To go to Representative O'Neill's question a little bit, those people buy homes, take their salary, pay sales tax on everything they buy. So they're funding the sales tax without the general fund, without the aviation part that we're asking back, which comes off the airplanes. So every time you create a job, and whether it's Cirrus, and they create jobs, those people spend their money in Minnesota, which creates that sales tax growth that helps maybe offset what we're trying to do here. The Airport Council is concerned about this bill because for a long time, one of my predecessors, Brian Ricks, as the director of the Duluth Airport, framed it up real good. Over the last several years, we've been rated for $15 million a couple times, and we're looking for a reliable partner in the state that helps make aviation competitive amongst the other states and attractive, and still maintain our airports, which is what we do. We maintain the finest airports in the nation right now, which makes us attractive to the airlines. So, and access makes us accessible to all the businesses that want to be here. Excuse me. Finally, let me go back and just look at this from a larger perspective for us a little bit. We do need to be competitive. As you've heard, we have the highest registrations in the nation. First year, maintain 3. 9 states in the nation right now are addressing that issue to make aviation attractive to them, whether it's Massachusetts, Maine, Kansas, Florida. Glenn Burke mentioned that his people get letters from Florida saying bring your business down here because we don't have sales tax. 6% on a $100,000 set of floats is a big deal. And as Representative Beard and others said, aircraft are mobile, so people do move for that reason. Second thing is that we need to maintain the adequate airports fund. We lost $15 million back in 2004. We still are owed about $7 million out of that as repayment of that $15 million. That will cost us an entire construction year plus some in construction. We have very short construction seasons. When we lose that, it cascades on through. It also takes away the leveraging of money, federal money, which many of these projects include, where we leverage that money considerably using that state money. So again, I go back to Mr. Rick's comments. We're looking for a reliable partner that makes us maintains competitive advantage or creates that competitive advantage for Minnesota. And then that, I'll open it up for questions.
Any questions for Mr. Van Leeuwen? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Chair. I just have a really quick comment. I'm actually from that area. I grew up in Bemidji. I went to Bemidji State, graduated from Bemidji State, and I still have family that live there. And putting the perspective of how much this affects greater Minnesota is really enlightening to me, and I appreciate your testimony today. And I just want to thank you for coming all that way. Hopefully you flew down here to get here.
Not today.
No. Oh, dear. Well, hopefully you can get home safely as we have snow coming. But thank you so much for your testimony and kind of enlightening all of us on the cost of doing business for aviation here.
Mr. Chairman, may I enhance one of my questions? And it goes to something Representative Beard said. He talked about an airplane, and every corporate aircraft creates about 2.5 jobs outside. In Bemidji, the impact on the community for that airport is direct. When we use the calculator put together by the University of Minnesota that says economic impact, it's over 200 direct and indirect jobs in Bemidji, and it's in the $30 million range that it contributes to the general economy of the region up there. That generates that sales tax. That's a lot. So, thank you.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is more of a comment, but this is very compelling testimony. Whether we're talking about airplanes or manufacturing tractors or windows, or if you're headquartered here and your business is moving grain all around the world, if we don't have a competitive business climate, the businesses will leave. It's very compelling testimony. Thank you for carrying the bill.
Any? Is there any additional testifiers?
One more, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
What would a meeting on airports be without Delta Airlines?
A better meeting, right?
He gets frequent testifier miles. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Jeff Davin with Delta Airlines. I'm going to be very brief. You know, this bill has been around for a number of years, and as I look around the table, there's a lot of people we've worked with on it. In previous years, actually, I would have been here on the other side of the issue and opposing it based on different drafts. I just want to thank the stakeholders. We really came together on this one. The bill before you is revenue neutral, fiscally neutral to the airlines. It's revenue neutral to the airport fund, and it, as you have heard from the testimony, certainly helps a number of business owners in the state. And for all that those reasons, in the form of the Delete Everything Amendment, it's one that the airlines are comfortable with in this form. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Thank you very much, Mr. Davidman. I have a bill up in another committee, so I'm going to have Representative Bernardi handle the rest of the... I'm going to have Representative Earhart handle the rest of this meeting, if that's okay.
Aren't we almost done here?
Yeah, but I have to be at a committee.
Chairman, we should speak about that cloning bill. That might help fix this problem.
Chair Earhart, I have a gentleman from MnDOT that has some comments on the bill, if you will.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jay Hippus. I'm the Acting Office Director for MnDOT's Aeronautics Office. We'd just like to clarify the fiscal note, that's the preliminary fiscal note that's been prepared. The 3.774 reduction is the estimated reduction to the state airport fund as a result of restructuring the aircraft registration fees. Our projections were $6.3 million over the next couple years through fiscal year 17 with the current structure. With the new structure, that would drop down to roughly $2.5 million per year, leaving that $3.774 million gap in the state airport fund. There would be an increase, though, with the new bill in terms of the additional revenue generated from the gas tax. That money already currently goes to the state airport fund, so that 5 cents to 15 cents would just be an increase in the state airport fund. And also the increased the new tax or transfer of tax from the general fund for the sales tax on aircraft would offset that $3.74 million number. But the Department of Revenue will be preparing the fiscal note for the impact of the general fund. This is just the impact to the state airport fund.
Are there any other questions? Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hyfus, thank you for coming. It's nice to meet you. Mr. Chair, and to the committee, I have an amendment that did not make the deadline today that I'll offer again at another time. There is a situation in the airport fund, the Avgas fund, and I want the Director of Aeronautics to hear this discussion, where some of our airplanes don't burn straight blue Avgas, we call it, the one with the nickel a gallon. We actually burn motor gas, 92-octane, no ethanol. But they can burn that like classic cars do in some of our high-performance engines. It actually has a 28.5-cent tax on it that goes to MnDOT's highway fund, the Highway User Trust Fund, as you know. So there will be a bill to divert that money to the airport fund, not to lower the tax, but just to have MnDOT take the hundreds of thousands of gallons a year of auto gas that's burned and deflect that to the airport fund as well. I don't know what the fiscal note on it. It's going to be in the hundreds of thousands. It won't be in the millions, but it will also have an impact on the fund. That's not part of this bill today. I'd hoped it could be, but hopefully that'll catch up in taxes when we make it to the tax committee. I just wanted the committee to hear that discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions or comments from the anybody else from the audience that chooses to testify today for or against? Well, I think our task then is to vote on the amendment, which is H0811DE3.
I have D1. D1, Mr. Chair.
DE1, isn't that what that says?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The bill as amended, then, are there any further comments or questions about that? Would you like to make any dying comments?
hopefully going forward comments, Mr. Chair. Thanks again to everybody for the good feedback and discussion, and appreciate the opportunity to move this forward.
And the motion is to vote to send this bill to the Rules Committee. As you know, we're beyond the finance deadline. So all in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Bill is passed as amended, and I guess we're going to adjourn. We're adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.